tonight, chapter 15, book of Luke, chapter 15. The apathy that I see here tonight, I'm on the wrong message. I'm teasing on that. Luke chapter 15, and I want to read tonight verses 8, 9, and 10. We find in this chapter three tremendous parables. We're going to look at the center parable tonight, that which is sandwiched by the lost sheep and the lost son. And here tonight we'll be looking at the what you could call the lost coin, or if you like L words, lost lucre. So let's look at these three verses. It says, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that we have the privilege to open this book. Lord, we know tonight it's not just any book, it's your book. It's your word that you have recorded, you have preserved, and you've allowed us to have a copy of it in our own hands. Lord, in this nation of ours, you've allowed most of us to have several copies. And how we're so thankful tonight for the Bible. But, oh God, I pray that the Bible not be owned by us, but it might own us. God, tonight, I pray that you would reclaim territory in our lives. Bless and work in each of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. If you look back in verse number 1 and 2, you'll find the background and why the Lord Jesus pronounces these three parables. He said, drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And notice what happens. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So you notice publicans, you notice sinners, they come to hear him. The sinful crowd, they want to hear what he has to say. But the religious crowd, they want to complain. They murmur against him and say things they ought not to say. As a result of this, the Lord Jesus, it says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying. And he calls it a parable, not three. Perhaps we could say it's in three parts. And so we find that this parable, or we might call parables, were given to silence and to rebuke the Pharisees who had been critical. It's a sad commentary upon many church members as well, that there are more that are interested in things other than what God is interested in. Many times we're interested not in the Word of God and the things of God, but in the business that we have, the things of making money. Many times, if not most times, we're more interested in sports. We're more interested in our recreations than we are in the things of God. It is a sad thing that we lack interest in such things as evangelism, revival meetings, and missions. I want to be thankful and rejoice that there's a privilege and an opportunity for us to give the gospel and people might be saved. Tonight, your sister in Christ, Linda, is rejoicing because she had a grandson saved today. If you were in prayer meeting, you heard her testimony. And how wonderful it is when people come to know Christ as their Savior. Let me ask you, can you remember the day you got saved? Can you remember that moment when you put your trust in Christ and what took place in your heart and your soul? And how thankful we are for that. And then for those others who've come to know Jesus as their Savior. They're round about us and how we thank God for that. But too often in our lives we become like these who are Pharisees and scribes, complacent in our own business rather than the business of God. The Lord Jesus, as he spoke about the shepherd and the sheep, I believe he was rebuking those who had a disinterested spirit by showing them the love of the shepherd for the sheep. As we come to this particular parable that we would call the second parable, we find in the lost coin a rebuke also, but a lack of interest, I believe, in the spiritual needs of mankind is seen in this particular one. The Lord Jesus is making it very clear to the Pharisees and the scribes, hey, seeking after the lost and eating with them and speaking to them is indeed the heart of God and how it ought to be our heart as well. Though there are in these three parables many things that are alike, we find, of course, in each one something is lost. We find in each one that something is found. We find in each one that there is rejoicing, there is joy over finding it. And in each one we also find that it likens it to the joy in heaven over souls getting saved. But we also find that there are some differences. As we look at the first and the second, and a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night we dealt with the lost sheep. As we think about that sheep, it strayed away and became lost of its own accord or lack of attention. We find, however, in this one, the coin was not lost of itself. It was lost by its owner. It's an inanimate object. And so in this case, we find that it's the owner that has lost it. The sheep was lost in the wilderness, but the coin is lost in the house. I believe we can see some similarities and why that is important in just a few moments. We find that a man rescued the sheep, but we find a woman rescued the coin. I don't know about you, but that tells me that it doesn't matter what gender you are, God wants to use you in rescuing the lost. God has a place for each and every individual. We find the motivation for the shepherd was pity for the sheep that is out there struggling in the wilderness. While it was not pity, it was the preciousness of the coin that brought the woman to seek after it. So as we consider these things tonight, I'd like for us to notice just three facets. I'd like for us to notice, first of all, the falling of the coin. I'd like for us to notice, secondly, the finding of the coin. And then I'd like for us to notice the felicity of the coin or the joy that is shared one with another. The falling of the coin, as we stop and consider tonight, it is in the house. If you notice there, it says, what woman having having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. There's much for us to think about as we look at those few words in that one sentence. In the house demonstrates that even within our homes, something can be lost. Let me ask you something. Have you lost something recently and couldn't find it? And you searched the house through, and you looked and you looked and you looked. By the way, let me give you a thought when you lose something like that. I've done this on many occasions. Who knows where it is? God knows where it's at. God knows exactly where it's at. He's never lost anything. And so one of the things you can do is say, Lord, lead me to it. Show me where it is. Now, God may not want you to have it anymore. Maybe that's why it's lost. But if He does, it's amazing how He can lead us to it. Very seldom I've seen more than 5 minutes go by than God did not reveal it to me somehow or another. God knows where it's all at. But here's a woman who she doesn't. And so she is in a home and she has lost something. I want you to think about something tonight. You who are parents, what are the most precious possession you have? I heard somebody say, my children. Oh, we might look out into our garage and say, boy, that's a wonderful car I've got out there. We might look in the house and we see this possession, that possession. We might look at those things and we say, boy, I worked a long time. I'm so glad to have this in my possession. But there's nothing quite the same as your children. Mm-hmm. Some of you tonight, you have lost children. You understand what is being said here when we think about this. And all of us at some point have lost children. And somewhere along the line, they can sometimes fall through the cracks. And I want us to notice here tonight that though they be within our homes, though they be not only within our homes, but also even within our church, there can be those that are lost right in our midst and we not even know it. The cause, we might say, is the carelessness of the owner. Not so much of the coin. It did not really have a mind of its own, but of that who owned it. Even within our churches sometimes, it is dissident church members who often oppose worthwhile spiritual programs that seek to reach people for Christ, that which is going to bring about the salvation of souls. And so we find it many times, it's not because they wandered in the wilderness, it's because it's right here within our very reach. The consequences of that coin falling are all too obvious. We find that the coin then becomes useless. Have you ever tried to spend something you didn't have? Seriously. Have you ever gone someplace and you left your money at home? And you said, well, I'm good for it. I got it at home. How many people bought something that way? It was useless, was it not? And in order for it to have value, it must be in our possession. And so the consequences are very obvious. And I want you to stop and think about this tonight, because here is a coin that represents a day's wages to this woman. Here is something that's very valuable to her. And it has fallen, and she no longer has it. The value is gone. That which was hers is now not there. And it only became valuable again when it was found. I want you to think about something else. When that coin was lost, what did she do? As she began to look for it, she swept her house. She felt as though that house needed to be clean in order that she might find it. And often something as small as a coin, if it falls down upon the floor and all the debris that might be there upon the floor, hey, listen, what if it fell under your couch? What if it fell under your bed? Oh, better yet, what about if it fell under your refrigerator? You say, well, all I have to do is just pull my refrigerator out. And what might you discover is there? Some of you don't know this, and you'll never invite me to your home again, but I can see the tops of most refrigerators. Some of you have never seen the top of a refrigerator your entire life. You look up there and you see all those little things that are up there. We have all kinds of stuff on top of our refrigerator. I believe that that's a ploy to keep me from seeing the actual top of the refrigerator. But underneath, it can be full of debris, can it not? And so she begins to sweep her house. It had become unclean. Sin so often defiles in our lives. But we do find that this coin was found. After sweeping the house and after taking the light to look for the coin, she finds it. But oh, how she felt the loss of that coin. It was felt not by the coin, by the way. The sheep in the wilderness, he's the one that felt the loss, did he not? The shepherd had compassion for him and could only think about what it was like. But this coin did not feel its loss, but the woman did. I want you to think about that for a moment. For oftentimes, as we deal with people about getting saved, we say, listen, you get saved, you not have to pay your penalty in hell. You not have to be separated from God for an eternity. But consider the lost coin, because I believe it gives us another objective or another view of this particular situation. For it is God who looks and has felt the loss of you and I, because we have turned and left Him. Though man will experience hell, God has a great loss. No wonder we find in this particular chapter that God says that there is great joy in the presence of the angels of God when a sinner repents. Because it means one has come home. She. Who is she? Do you realize that oftentimes the church is looked at as a woman? She's the bride of Christ. Consider, we as God's people, as we gather together to what? To evangelize the world, to edify each other. What is it all about? That souls eventually might come to know Christ as their Savior. She, the church, had to have illumination to find it. Though she swept the house, which is a picture of her own life being cleaned up. A picture of the house and all about it. And by the way, a church must have the cleansing of God if it's going to be used of God. And you and I must be sanctified, meet for the Master's use. But then there is the illumination that must take place. And what greater do we find than the illuminating power of the Word of God? The Word of God is said to be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You who know the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible know that Psalm 119, verse 105, I believe it is, "Thy Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." And thus we find from the Word of God that it is that which lights the way for you and for me. I heard one pray tonight and they said, "Lord, just give me enough light to see one step farther." Far too often in our lives we want a light that's going to shine way down in the future someplace that we can see the whole thing. By the way, I'm so thankful God doesn't do that. Aren't you? Right now I'm very thankful I can't see the end of the election year. You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful for some of these things, you know. But it's one day at a time. And the Word of God is that which will illuminate our path. But oh, thank God, not only do we have the illumination of the Word of God, but the Spirit of God is He who comes to open that Word to you and to me, and the illumination of the Spirit of God. She had to clean the house to find it. And then she takes of the Word of God, if you please, and of the Spirit of God, that we might find the lost soul that needs to come to the Lord Jesus. Here's a woman who had diligence. Here's a woman who had dedication. The Bible says that she did it till she find it. Till she find it. You know, everything we do for the Lord ought to be the best we can. Years ago, when I went off to Bible school, one of the first things I got involved with was the bus ministry. And here I am, 20 years of age, and they say, "Will you drive a bus?" I had never driven anything bigger than a pickup. And I knew how to drive a stick shift. I owned one. And the guy that asked me to work with him, I was to work on the bus just to keep the kids quiet. 2 weeks later, he hands me the key, says, "I'm not driving this thing anymore." For the next 3 years, I drove that bus. And I had two, maybe three different buses through that period. I remember one of them I've told you about, old Ruby Red Lips. It was a yellow bus, and the front grill of it had been something had happened to it, and they went out and bought a new part. And it had the primer on it. Nobody ever changed the color of it. We had an old yellow bus with these red lips. That's what it looked like from the front. Old Ruby was a cantankerous bus. You get her over 40 miles an hour, she shimmied. It was a great speed control. And it kept this driver from going too fast down through the local neighborhood. I had one area I could run 45 in, but I never could do it. We would just shake to death in that thing. I don't know what causes that. We probably should have been on the side of the road somewhere in a big heap. But it ran the years I was there. But I heard a story one day, and it really got to me as I was driving that bus and picking up these kids. They were telling about a bus captain who had been given a bus that was worse than mine. And though the bus was not in very good shape, this guy would come, he'd wash it, make sure it was nice and clean, he'd sweep it out every week. And he went to a very, very poor neighborhood. And one day he thought, these kids deserve better than this. He went down to the local carpet store, bought enough carpet, took all the seats out, and put wall-to-wall carpeting inside the bus. Every week, he'd bring his vacuum and hook up all the drop cords, and he'd take and sweep that thing out. By the way, he said he had a whole lot less sweeping to do when he put the carpet down than he did before, because the kids found out here was a guy that cared about them. You know, we ought to give them our best. We ought to do the best we can, not only for kids, but anybody. It's God's work, amen? Too often we think, oh, it's for church, so we don't have to give it our best. Brother Kenny Blue, and you've heard my story. Some of you haven't, so I'll tell it again. For those of you who forgot it, here's a reminder. Years ago, pastored up in Manning, Iowa. And he was going to Bible college at the time and traveling back and forth between Omaha and Manning. Stay there over the weekend, sometimes sleeping in his car. And visiting on Saturday the best he could, study a little bit, preach on Sunday and Sunday night, make their way back down to Omaha and go to college. Some of those trips he told me about. It was times that were very difficult. They didn't have very much at all. And he said one day, one of the families in church, they were farmers, and they said, would you come out? We'd like to give you something. And so they went out to the house, and before they were ready to leave and come back to Omaha, and the family had boxed up for them a big box of frozen meat. What he found out was that they had slaughtered another cow, and the meat that was in the freezer had gotten freezer burned. And so they were given that to the pastor of their church. He said, I was so grateful to have it. But he said, you know, that's a picture of not giving God your best. For that's who ought to get our best. Amen. And how we ought to do that. She sought diligently till she found it. Every one of these kids, every adult, every person who walks in this church, listen, we ought to give it our best. Because they're important. They are very, very important. So she sought diligently till she found it. She stayed with it. She didn't quit in the midst. Too often we give up. I remember the words used to hit me so many times. For during a number of years, we would do things. We'd try to reach people, and boy, the attendance would not grow. Folks didn't get saved. Worked and worked and worked, and nothing seemed to work. Failure seemed to be my doom. I would get so discouraged, and yet I kept hearing these words. The day after you quit, God will bring blessings. And so I'd stay another week, and then I'd hear the same words. And you know what? God does. It's not a matter of what does take place. It's a matter of sticking at it until we have found it. And so she was tenacious at the job. But I want you to notice, too, it came, the joy, as a result of her earnest effort to find it. The joy came because she stuck at it. And because she was diligent in the job, and because of the effort she put forth, God gave her that coin and brought it to her attention. But I want you to notice, too, that when she had found it, it says in verse number 8, or 9, excuse me, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together. This is her coin. It's been lost, but she's found it. She's excited about finding this. And she wants to share the joy. I tell you what, when somebody gets saved, we ought to get excited. Amen? I've seen the time when, oh my goodness, somebody will walk in and say, boy, so-and-so got saved in my Sunday school class, and everybody will kind of look, I shouldn't say everybody, but some folks kind of look and say, well, we'll find out if they hold out till tomorrow. And I must admit, boy, I've been in that spot too many times. How we ought to be thankful and joyous, and how we ought to, what, share it with others. But I want you to notice something, because if there's something that just gripped my soul as I studied this, it says, likewise, God is using this woman to show us what it's like in heaven when somebody that is lost is found. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I know tonight, for much of the world, the Super Bowl is the biggest thing that ever strikes them. Do you think God cares? I'm serious. By the way, for those of you who are curious, it's now the top of the sixth inning, and the Detroit Flyers are in a lead. You know, God is not really interested in that. God is interested in folks who are repentant. There's the joy. Lost souls are important to heaven. Does God care about all the different things that take place in this old world? Oh yeah, He cares, but I know what He's really concerned about. For God so loved the world that He went to great trouble, did He not? To give of Himself to the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved. And so there's great joy over the coin that is now found. And by the same token, we are excited when that sheep was way out in the wilderness and it comes back, or it's brought back by the shepherd. That which was way out in sin, that which was lost so far away and yet was rescued. But sometimes, that which is saved within the church, we're not as excited about. Your kids are just as needy of salvation and brings joy to God just as much as a bus kid. To God, there is no difference. To He, it is His joy when somebody gets saved. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Do you know that man, most of the time, we are really an enemy to our own happiness. We love sin, which is the source of all misery, and hate repentance, which is the only remedy for our misery. And God says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God is looking for that. That which is lost was found. Praise God. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. So often,